This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, survivalists. This is the Crux True Survival Stories. I'm your host, Casey McIntosh. I'm joined by Julie Henningsen. How are you today, Julie?
Doing great, Casey. I'm excited to share the story that I have with you today. It might be one that you've heard or seen before.
Oh.
Today, we're going to talk about the survival story of Christopher B. Sheldon, sea captain, and his sailboat, the Albatross. Well, spoiler alert, the Albatross does not survive, but the captain does, and it's a pretty interesting story, so something that I'm excited to share with you and our listeners. It also might sound familiar because it was made into a movie in 1996 called White Squall, starring Jeff Bridges. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember the name of the movie, and I remember Jeff Bridges. But I like Jeff Bridges, so I might have to watch it.
I do, too. I like Jeff Bridges a lot. He's a Montanan probably part of the year, so, and a great actor.
Yeah, I would love to have a cup of coffee with that guy. It would be really entertaining.
Agreed.
We should, maybe he'll meet us sometime.
Yeah, if you're listening, Jeff Bridges, let us know. Yeah. Okay, so the Albatross was a schooner sailboat built in 1920. A little background on the boat itself. It was built in Amsterdam. It was a 117-foot sailboat, and it spent two decades sailing on the North Sea before it was then purchased by the German government in 1937. And then it served as a radio station ship for submarines during the Second World War, back to a Dutch merchant marine in 1949, used as a training ship. And then in 1954, the sailboat was purchased by a filmmaker and novelist named Ernest K. Gann. So Ernest Gann cruised the Pacific for 3 years on the Albatross. The boat survived a tsunami in Hawaii at some point during this time. And then he used the boat for a 1958 film called Twilight for the Gods, starring Rock Hudson.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so a storied past to this boat. And it all led up to, in 1958, Christopher B. Sheldon, a sailor from Connecticut, bought the boat with his wife, and they opened the Ocean Academy. The Ocean Academy was a school, basically, that put together trips, kind of a prep school on the sea. So they put together programs for up to 14 students to teach them sailing, do educational programs on the sea, four credit type stuff, and sailed around the Caribbean and the Eastern Pacific Ocean.
That would be a really cool learning experience.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of like there's, I think so. And I think there's things like that now, like Semester at Sea. It's probably like the original Semester at Sea type program. This was really targeting wealthy kind of East Coast families that had some money to pay to send their sons. It was all boys out on this boat for like 6 months at a time or even a full school year at a time.
Totally different lifestyle.
Yes. Sounds pretty nice up to this point.
Yeah. Right? So far, so good. That boat has lived like 100 lifetimes so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and part of the reason for the backstory on the boat is it does kind of tell you that the boat had seen some things before Christopher Sheldon and his wife Alice got their hands on it and took these teenage boys out around the Caribbean and Pacific Oceans.
I'm kind of curious if they were informed about any of the details of the history of the boat. Like, hey, by the way, this was involved in a tsunami. Is there a Carfax for boats?
Great question. You know, people treat and take care of boats with such care, almost like, you know, loved ones,
a family,
or pets,
yeah,
a family member. So there probably was pretty well established known history and respect for the experiences that the boat had. But who knows how much of that information was conveyed to these participants. And there had been some modifications made to the boat through all of these different uses that it had. There had been some retrofitting and some kind of sail restructuring and some things that maybe played a role in the events that came to unfold.
I love the way you use that tone of voice.
Oh, yeah, a little foreshadowing. A little foreshadowing. Well, this is a survival story podcast, so I don't have to do too much foreshadowing.
Right. You know it's headed for disaster any minute.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So from the fall of 1960 to the spring of 1961, so basically an entire school year, a crew of four instructors, including the Sheldons, Christopher and Alice Sheldon, their cook, who was a 30-year-old named George Tacknick, and 13 students, all young men between the ages of about 16 and 18, sailed the Albatross from the Bahamas through the Caribbean to the Galapagos Islands, back to the Caribbean. And they had a 14th student with them that had been on the ship for the first part of the voyage, but for whatever reason had left the group in Panama. So flew home from Panama and wasn't a part of the story I'm about to tell.
Lucky for him.
Exactly. Good choice, number 14. So on May 2nd, the Albatross was en route from Progreso, Mexico, to Nassau in the Bahamas. And the captain, Christopher Sheldon, decided that he would make a stop at one of the Florida Keys to refuel. So that's where they were headed, destination, gas stop in the Florida Keys. Shortly after 8:30 a.m. on May 2nd, the Albatross had been in clear, calm, placid waters, and it was suddenly hit by a white squall about 125 miles west of the Dry Tortugas. So pretty much out in the middle of the ocean. Just cut and pasted all this stuff, and now I don't know where I put it. I had to look this up. You know, I think of a squall as just a storm, but right. A white squall apparently is unique because it's just really sudden, a sudden, violent windstorm at sea. And it's not accompanied by black storm clouds that you might picture with a storm of this magnitude. Also, the speed with which it shows up is characteristic. Just high wind velocities. It happens in tropical and subtropical waters and is considered to be a microburst. So it comes on fast and it ends fast, and you just don't get a lot of warning. According to Sheldon, the squall hit the Albatross so quickly and was so strong that they didn't even have time to get on the radio and make an SOS call. They had thought of the Albatross as essentially a pretty stable and safe ship. Otherwise, they wouldn't be out there doing what they were doing. But as soon as that white squall hit, the boat just capsized in a moment. So the folks that were the boys, mostly, that were below deck, for the most part, just didn't even have an opportunity to escape, to get out.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Trapped. Yeah, they were trapped. Christopher Sheldon described the incident as if a giant hand just suddenly took a hold of the boat and took a hold of the crew. In 15 seconds, the Albatross was on its side. And in 60 seconds, it filled with water, and then it was gone. It was just sunk. And the ocean was calm that quickly.
Wow. Did they have life rafts, sailboat?
They did have life rafts. And everyone that was below deck, except for one student, perished. And the one student said he was close to the hatch. He, in a moment of quick thinking, he realized something was wrong. He could see a wall of water coming down towards the deck. And at the last final second, he pushed through this hatch to get up out from down below, and he made it. And as soon as he got out, this just wall of water slammed down on the boat, and nobody else was gonna get out.
Oh my.
He miraculously survived. And everyone that was above deck did survive, including Christopher Sheldon. So 11 students and two of the teachers, an English and math teacher, were above deck, and they scrambled into lifeboats. There was only one student who was above deck at that time that the squall hit that didn't survive. John Goodlett, who was an 18-year-old student from Arlington, Virginia, he was the only person on deck to die when the vessel capsized. The others that perished were all trapped below the deck. So John was trying to get a lifeboat free in this moment,
and they believe he was pulled under by the sail. He got trapped under the sail. Goodlet was the best swimmer on the boat. They all agreed he was a really good swimmer, but he drowned.
That's awful. I feel like that would be one of the worst ways to go when you are completely conscious of what's happening and there's no way out. That thought gives me so much anxiety.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Being trapped under a sail.
Right. It's not a peaceful death.
Right. Another one of the students, Christopher Korestein, who did not survive, reportedly went below deck at the time of the squall in an attempt to save somebody else and lost his own life.
That's absolutely terrible. And I bet their radio went down with the boat, huh?
Yeah, their radio went down with the boat. You know, everything they had went down with the boat. This clearly wasn't like some of these other sinking boat stories that we've told on this podcast where there was like this moment of time where you could grab your bug out bag or whatever, their survival bag or your map or your food or your water or anything.
Or your toothbrush.
Like or your toothbrush. Yeah. That real high priority things.
Right.
So sadly, Christopher Sheldon's wife, Alice, also drowned in the event. He lost his wife and the cook as well, did not survive. But now 11 students, Christopher Sheldon, two of the teachers from the program, were on a life raft. And again, it was May 2nd, 1961, and they were just floating.
What time of day did this white squall hit them? Do you know?
8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. So as there had not really been time to send out any type of radio distress signal before the ship sank, the remaining crew used the two lifeboats that they were able to deploy and made their way towards Florida. So they're just kind of floating at sea. And like I said, this all happened the morning of May 2nd. Fortunately, by the morning of May 3rd, so close to 24 hours later, the two life rafts were found by a Dutch freighter named the Gran Rio. And the freighter took on the survivors and transported them to Tampa, Florida.
That seems just too good to be true. I mean, this never happens in these castaway stories. No, never does the freighter see the people, the raft, right?
Right.
That hardly ever happens.
Yeah, we've talked about that, how statistically the chances of being seen are like a needle in the haystack. Yeah, they had bad luck, but then they had some good luck.
Because okay. Also, you know, it's not very likely that they would have just, in their life rafts, made it to Florida. They would have just ended up circling out there in the ocean.
Like all the other.
Like all the others.
Stories. Yeah. Oh. Getting nibbled by sharks and dried out and skin sores. The whole picture.
I'm so glad they didn't have to live through that. That's a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the suddenness of it is pretty remarkable. So a lot of these young boys, or I guess we'll call them young men, were like pretty high profile, you know, parents in high levels of government and just people with a lot of money. So there was a pretty thorough investigation that went into this incident after the fact. And although the Albatross kind of had been regarded as this stable, safe ship, over time, there were critics who suggested that some of the retrofitting that had been done on the boat over the previous years and decades, really, from different past owners, had made the boat top heavy, which is why it was so quick to just flip over and sink. It affected the stability of the boat. So the loss of the Albatross actually prompted the United States Coast Guard to do a review of design requirements for sailing school ships. And, you know, there were some changes that were made in terms of what was required for programs like this that I'm imagining are probably still in effect today.
Were there any legal repercussions for the school leader or the owner of the boat?
I didn't come across any mention of lawsuits. There could have been. But what I did come across is a lot of reports about how they really had a lot of respect for Christopher Sheldon, even after the fact. And some of the participants who survived were quoted as saying, "I would do the whole thing again."
Wow.
And that, you know, they really just at the time thought of it as this totally freak, unexpected weather event. And the idea that really nobody was to blame. I don't know if all the parents of the folks that didn't survive felt that way, but a lot of the survivors did. after this all happened, of course, Christopher Sheldon had lost his wife and lost his boat, and he went on to join the Peace Corps. He did several stints with the Peace Corps, and then he went on to consult with Ridley Scott and likely Jeff Bridges in the late 90s when they produced this movie, The White Squall, which he was on board with. He said he watched the movie twice, but the second time he watched the movie, he walked out during the sinking scene. And it's unclear if he walked out of emotion or out of disgust or what made him, but it sounded like he was pretty supportive of the project.
That's really cool.
He did start another sailing school eventually as well, which hopefully ended with more success. And then he died about 20 years ago in 2002 of pancreatic cancer in Connecticut at age 76. So that is the story of the Albatross, White Squall. You can probably get it, stream it pretty easily. See Jeff Bridges in action.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A good movie.
I'm pretty sure I saw this before. It's just been a long time.
Yeah.
But I will have to revisit it.
Yeah. Give it another look.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to name the people that didn't survive. The survivors of this incident: William Schnale, Tim Barrows, Charles Soller, Philip Laboutier, David Johnstone, and somebody named Mike were among the souls who emerged from the incident. Those that didn't survive were John Goodlett, Robert Weatherhill IV, Chris Korestein, Rick Marcellus, the cook, George Patacnik, and Alice Sheldon.
Terrifying, that experience.
Yeah.
I cannot even imagine.
A white squall, another thing to add to your list to be on the lookout for as you're out there adventuring in the big wide world.
Right, where anything can happen at any time. We're creating anxiety disorders, Julie.
So here's an interesting fact. How much do you think an academic year at sea in 1961 cost? What was the tuition for these young men to go on this program?
This is for a whole year?
Yeah, fall to spring. Well, so it's like 9 months.
Like 10 grand, maybe?
$3,250.
Oh, wow. Which was probably a lot of money then. Back then, when you're making probably like $50 a week,
right,
as a normal average citizen,
yeah,
it's all, or maybe even less.
That's a change.
You're right. Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
That is. Well, thanks for listening to the story today. Before we wrap up, I would just love to ask for your support in spreading the word again about the Crux True Survival Stories. If you enjoyed this episode, take a moment, visit our Instagram page at the Crux Podcast. And we encourage you to share our latest post on your stories. Help us reach more fellow survival enthusiasts and storytellers. Consider leaving a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. We appreciate your feedback and are excited to continue bringing compelling stories of survival. Have a fantastic week.
Yes, have a great week.